Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome into the Wednesday. I think that's the Wednesday, not the Wednesday, or it is the Wednesday edition of Robbie
I'm
and Rex.
Fire out of the gate.
We should call it Wednesday. Just get rid of the S. I'm Joe Rexrode. That's Paul Kaharsky filling in for Robbie the rest of the week. We had TD yesterday. That was a great show. Actually, I think maybe we should bring back, see if we can get five walk-up songs for Paul Kaharsky today, see if he can contend with our walk-up songs. Nick Kieser producing, intern Colin. Thank you. I called him Connor. I called him Connor like a bunch of times. Finally, somebody on the text line was like, dude, his name's Colin.
See, that's idiot. Like I treat interns, and I got all kind of grief because I didn't know Junie.
Yeah, you do it on purpose, though.
It just comes natural.
Mine was an honest mistake.
Colin or Connor? Now I don't know. So just leave it for me to.
Fail. To be fair, Colin and Connor, right?
I mean, same thing.
Well, it's not the
it's same thing, right?
Paul, Peter, yeah, whatever, right?
When I interned, I just answered to whatever I was called.
Yeah, that's fair.
But here's the thing: as an intern,
C,
you have
Big
to
C. Let's call him Big C.
You have to be so unforgettable that no one will forget your name. That's your job.
That's true.
Not Joe's job.
Well, that's what I told him yesterday. I'm like, hey, man, next time if I butcher your name or something, stand up and, like, throw double middles at me. I mean, like, write it on a sign. Say, hey, you messed this up. And, you know, and we'll get it fixed out.
Do outstanding work. Do outstanding work.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. All right, I'm going to go to – before we get to your impressions on, I don't know, a few things, including the awesome national anthem, we did have some Steven Stamkos – interaction yesterday over at Bridgestone. So the thing that stood out to me, Nick Kieser, the talk about him playing center. I mean, I think that's the most probably interesting thing about it. It was also interesting that he knew the exact details of his last goal he scored.
I was going to play that clip for you guys too.
Go ahead, play that. Play that clip. Steven Stamkos from yesterday at Bridgestone.
That was impressive too. So yeah, here's Steven.
You had an interview a number of years ago where you demonstrated your ability to remember your goals in great detail. And I wondered if you still had that ability. You've scored quite a few goals since then, but I wondered if you still had that ability.
Yeah, for the most part, if I can kind of remember the game or which kind of goal it was, I have a pretty keen sense of who made the play or who passed it, who had the assist, things like that. I mean, I think it's just like anything. If you have a really big passion for something and something you really love and you get to experience it and you have those feelings of joy and rush and like those moments stick with you. And obviously goal scoring for me has been something I really enjoy doing and for the most part can remember a lot of them, yeah.
Do you remember the goal from November 19th, 2022 here in Bridgestone?
November 19th, so was that... That was pre-COVID?
No, 2022. It was
2022.
It was your most recent goal in Bridgestone Arena against the Preds. Was
that overtime winner, one timer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that.
Yep, that was it.
Yeah. Good screen by Corey Perry in front.
Yeah. There's Steven Stamkos. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Remarkable. Unfortunately for Preds fans, he had to bring Corey Perry into the discussion, but that is pretty good. I know you don't care. Okay. Titans guy, but I will say that Steven Stamkos is going to be very good for folks who cover the
well. I care from a good media perspective.
Yeah.
And I love guys with recall like that.
Yeah,
I think it's Aaron Rodgers that has recall like that. Kevin Seifert, my friend who now covers the Vikings, but was broader on the NFL, It was either LaFleur or Rodgers that he went and did had plays ready.
Well, the
and called them out, like started a hint and tested the memory, and the recall was insane.
Well, the one I remember is McVay. That's who was insane. That may be true.
Maybe it was McVay.
McVay was insane. Like
it was a third and two in the fourth quarter, and he just would pick it up and run with
and
it.
And they were running the blah, and then they switch into blah, blah. It was like, what? Yeah.
Like a photographic memory.
Basically. Kind of basically. So now I could turn it into a silly topic and say, you're so selfish. You worry, you think about your own goals. But I thought that was pretty cool. Nick Kieser, what other impressions do you have of that? The center thing, like I said, I think that's interesting because I think it's worth talking about. And this team lacks center depth, obviously, and needs help there. But also, I personally would rather play Steven Stamkos on the wing and not overburden him at this point in his career.
I think it's cool that he could be a Swiss Army knife. That's probably what he's going to be this fall, if I had to guess. I think he'll primarily play the wing, and I think that that's the best fit for him for sure. Some seem to think Colton Sissons is not a fit. He's not here right now, but that's okay. But we'll figure it out. We'll have to find out at training camp
where
he fits.
Is that a we? Do you speak of the team as we?
Oh, do we just have a we? Do we just have a Kieser we? You and Max.
In terms of observation,
you and Max Herz are coaching
in
the team this year.
In terms of will observate and watch will, training camp, yes. Yeah.
I got you.
Be careful.
Uh-huh. Yes, thank you.
I'm saving that one. See, you won't save that one. I'm going to save that one.
Sure, I have three of them that are three of y'all that keep me accountable with that. So, okay. But thank you. It's early. So
you and Max Herz.
Early, late, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
No, we. Yeah. Any time of day, don't call them we.
I meant it as observation, so it's fine. Training camp.
We, the observers, will figure it out.
Yes.
It's all right. That's possible that's what he meant.
That is
possible. I think improbable.
It's feasible, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
By the way, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And hit us up on the game or phone text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. That is working. The YouTube chat is working, and I'm going to pull that up soon. And someone tweet about this because – so we still don't have – no more Twitter. Did you know this, PK? More Twitter streams unless you pay, like, the premium, you know?
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
So apparently it has been YouTube paid. We're waiting on the verification now. Oh. So that is an update for you.
I started paying the premium a while ago in order to do longer and see things better or whatever.
Right.
All the advantages. Be
worthwhile?
Corporate write-off. Yeah, I think if it went away now, it would be a pain in the butt. So. Yeah.
Okay, so we paid that. How much did we pay? I want to know how much the suit paid. I think he's back today. Because, I'd like some more pens and office supplies and
it's not that much
headphones. Okay, so PK, before we get into football, and we will talk football a lot today, including a story you've got on Jamal Adams, I did want to get your thoughts on the national anthem from the other night. We figured out it's probably on the Mount Rushmore. It's July. It's a great time to talk about Mount Rushmores.
Carl Lewis is a very big contender for number one. I'm not going to remember others, but as you present them to me, I will. Carl Lewis was just ridiculous. Stick with me now. I mean, he's offering commentary during it.
I'll make up for it.
And then he didn't make up for it at all. Absolutely horrific.
Like someone said on the YouTube channel, like Derek Coleman sitting there with his jersey over his head.
And was that a Charlie Steiner moment on SportsCenter too, where I think he just could not hold it together, which was made it all the better.
So Roseanne Barr now. Alex Doherty contested me on Twitter about this because his point was Roseanne Barr, you remember this? Yeah. It was like all-star, whatever.
I mean, she doing it comedically?
She did it on purpose. She did the grab the crotch and spit like she's a baseball player. So I don't know. It's still a national anthem that was horrific.
Yeah.
What was it? Kieser, what was the other one that TD brought up yesterday? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. And I've already freaking forgotten it. Oh my gosh! Well,
mind is like a sieve.
Yeah. Seriously, this is going really well. It's a good Wednesday edition of the show. What did you think about this one though? What were your?
I just I was away from town, so I'm in a little crappy Hampton Inn, trying to watch it separate of my family as we all try not to disturb each other while we're on our phones. with the just the progressive, like, you know, everybody said, you're not going to believe this. And I'm thinking, well, there's it could be great or it could be awful. And then as it progressively gets worse, I'm like, who is this? I have no idea who it is.
She's won a Grammy, right?
Yeah.
A Grammy-winning artist.
And it just devolved into an absolute horror show. And
thank
then
you. Fergie was the other one. Fergie had a bad one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't think to doubt her apology / declaration that she's going to rehab until you, cynic of all cynics,
well,
more cynical than me, comes in and says,
think that way?
Do we believe that?
I mean, I haven't seen anybody dispute it, and I've seen a lot of people share it. Thank you, Brian K. Yes,
I would like to watch it again now to gauge drunkenness.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can make it through it again.
Okay, so does Ingrid – let me see if there's actually a report on – yeah, because for people who don't know, she then put out a statement
– the next day.
The next day that says that she was drunk and that she is checking herself into rehab, which, of course, is nothing to joke about. But, yeah, I mean, that was her actual account, so I think it was real. I mean, yeah, it really, like, most of it was kind of like, eh – not very good. And then at the end, it just absolutely
crashed and burned.
Yeah. So.
Did they show players reacting?
Yeah, they did. They didn't have anything great. There were because once it got real bad, I don't think they showed any reaction. Because once at the very end was when you want to show people.
Yes.
But they didn't. They just kind of showed it that from what I saw and then, you know, zoomed away.
I think Alec Baum was the only one that really made a face on TV.
Is that right?
That I saw.
And yeah. I will go so far. I know I'll probably get bashed for this. Do we need a national anthem for the Home Run Derby? Like,
I mean, obviously this came up a lot during all the Colin Kaepernick stuff, but it is like, do we need a national anthem before everything? You know? I mean,
I understand it's baked into the cake for games and it's hard to go away from, but like for something like that, I don't know.
Right. It's not
on the Home Run Derby. I mean, we watched the second half of it because we're at a baseball tournament and, you know, we turned the TV on and maybe watched a little bit of politics given everything that's going on. But I just can't stand the ESPN guys. You know, some of them are tweeting, you know, it's one of the great sporting events of the summer. No, it's not. It's not a sporting event.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
and then,
I
you know, Los Angeles Dodger has won the Home Run Derby for the first time since, you know, whatever. Like it's a stat. Or like there's meaning to it.
You know
what's
way better was the old Home Run Derby show with two major leaguers in black and white. That was awesome. No, I'm with you. I used to be
such a non-event.
I used to be so into
Berman's not involved anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, back. Oh, you think balls are going to go back in the Home Run Derby?
Don't even get me started on Berman.
Oh, I'm a biggest hater.
I don't know, man. We might have to have a competition there, because he treats people like crap too. That's probably my biggest beef with him. But who knew where this segment would go? But no, I'm with you. I'm not into the Home Run Derby. I'm not into the baseball All-Star Game. Used to be absolutely. I used to love the baseball and the basketball.
Well,
I mean,
the baseball
All-Star
game,
and MLB,
especially when it was leagues that didn't play each other, was a glorious rivalry thing. Now the uniform thing they've even taken away. I saw a great tweet yesterday. Like
Kevin Ingram had a great tweet.
Coming up with the uniforms it's a typical example of somebody that doesn't love or understand sports coming up with the idea for it. What did Ingram say?
Well, he was just, and I don't have it in front of me, but he's like, what's the one thing you really love about the All-Star game? You know, watching them and everybody in their uniforms.
The
hey,
uniform.
Let's take that away. You know, it's like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do love the AL's dominance. Love the AL's dominance. The NFL, NL remains inferior, and that's fun for me.
Okay. There you go. Well, when we come back.
You should feel the same as a Detroit fan.
Yeah, that's fine. Honestly, but seriously, like, you just gave me news who won last night. I didn't know. I didn't care. You just broke news for me. So, speaking of that, you've got some news on Jamal Adams and his role with the Titans. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie Stanley. I got a text on the text line talking about there's apparently a show in Nashville tonight scheduled for your girl Ingrid Andress. So, yeah.
So you're a big follower now. Like, have you followed her on Twitter? Have you listened to some tunes?
I have not.
This could be great for her career if she gets it together. I don't know if she's any good. I mean, she's not my genre, so to me, she's not good.
I mean, I've heard one song, and it's pretty bad.
The national anthem?
Yeah, so, I mean, if that's...
You got to put that as a hidden track at the end of the next
that's right.
release.
That's a good point. It'll be like Nirvana, like in their CD. Like
she is a four-time Emmy nominee, so
Grammy.
She's not
Wait,
one.
Grammy? Yeah. Do we have to talk you through Emmy, Grammy,
No,
Oscar?
It is that. You're right. Sorry.
Tony?
I'm just going to shut up now because clearly I don't know what I'm talking about.
Gosh, Pete, Paul, I tell you what, man.
No, I'm just dumb. I'm a dumbass. It's fine. I totally get it.
Are you going to drop that?
What do you mean?
You dropped me when I said jackass, which is an animal.
And now he says dumbass, which I like. And I like that he's loosening up.
I'm trying to stop saying words
like
that.
You say that every time I'm here, and then I leave, and then you let it fly.
But I see people
the kids are
Twitter.
Not going to school. They're not up. The kids are not up.
That's true. I guess if there's an hour to do it, it would be this hour.
My kid's up because it's physical day.
Oh.
Final forms
being
completed.
Oh, I know how that goes. Yeah, actually, we have a temporary. I'm glad you mentioned that. We've got to get that figured out. All right, so Jamal Adams, PK, you have a story at paulkuharski.com on Jamal Adams. You talked to some people with the Titans. So is he QB2? What's his role?
He's QB3 to start against Malik, and we know how that'll go. Everybody's curious how he'll be deployed, and I think this fit our suspicions. What I've learned. Obviously, I wanted to know what the role would be. I think we all did. And what I've learned sounds like their intentions for him are along the lines of what we expected. The idea of him starting in Elijah Molden, in what has been Elijah Molden's slot, is quote unquote fluid. But they're looking at him as envisioning him as a big nickel. So if the defense is straying from base personnel on base downs against multiple tight ends, he would be the guy that would maybe take McCreary off the field. Who does that sound like it's a good plan against? Baltimore. Who would it not be a good plan against? Kansas City. So, I think game to game, that would affect what he does if he's healthy. I think they'll look to blitz him from the safety spot. The guy has a lot of sacks, 21 and a half sacks in his first four seasons. In his last full season, 2020, he had 9.5 sacks. So he can
in
rush.
In 2020.
Yeah. Well, I know we're talking. 9.5
and
sacks.
Zero
sacks since. And some dime linebacker, which is what a lot of people were really harping on in some third down packages, which, we don't love the inside linebackers. Here's a guy that could drop down from safety, and we've seen a lot of this, guys moving forward.
Right.
In the defense in those situations.
So, yeah, you put him in coverage in that area of the field and you feel like
you
could be okay.
But it can't be a center field type, and they can't land him in situations like that. Now, so it's encouraging that they view him like that. I think that all sounds right. They understand the risk reward. He's only making $1.125, I think, under $1 million guaranteed. But it doesn't solve the issue at safety in terms of the coverage question. Now they've been in touch with Justin Simmons, whose price remains high. The feeling I got there is that it's not a cause for optimism there unless something changes big. They've also checked in with Condre Diggs. So it's not dead. The idea of them still doing something at safety is not entirely dead.
Yeah.
I don't think it would happen before camp unless one of those guys just like all of a sudden changed his thinking. But I do think if there was a combination of a price reduction and the Titans feeling some big concern, halfway through camp, something could certainly happen. I do think, though, you know, if you're looking at the team carefully, and we'll get into some more of this, if the pass rush isn't productive the way it might not be productive, that could be a letdown for these better cornerbacks. And then if you have a coverage hole at safety, there's a recipe for some trouble there. Adams is not a guaranteed healthy guy. I like Hooker as a playmaker, but it's putting a lot of strain on him, and he has a tendency to miss some games there.
Absolutely.
And the depth remains very poor and inexperienced.
Right. Yeah, look, if you make Adams, first of all, this means I was right and you were wrong. Adams is not just plugging in as a starter, so it's good to have that confirmation. But all three of those guys, if you count him as a third guy, have serious injury history of late.
Yes,
I mean that's Molden's whole career. I think Molden runs well enough to be a safety in the NFL, but can he stay healthy? So do they have any functional depth? Is Matthew Jackson a guy? Some of these guys behind them? Could they actually put them on the field?
You have the two, Shy Carter and Mike Brown. Yeah, Mike Brown's played like 4 or 8 games in his career.
So I think it's a good thing that they are still open to adding there. It ended up being a Seahawks Southeast here with the Titans.
Now he's a great locker room guy, by all accounts. Now last year, you know, I had some people in Seattle tell me he wasn't, but you know, he's at the end of 3 years of really significant injury stuff, and I can imagine him not being disgruntled with the team, but him being disgruntled with the injury run.
I mean, he did leave the stadium when he was a scratch one day.
Yeah.
So also the.
Overall, he's an energetic swagger leader. Type of guy that's going to be good to have around. That's not why you sign him. You sign him on the risk reward that out of that cheap money, less than $1 million guaranteed, you're going to get some production out of him. Here's another guy that's going to be injury managed during camp. You got to get him out there enough to see him in all of these situations we're talking about, where he could be in the lineup and the packages and all of that. But outside of that, if he's going to get hurt, you want him hurt on a Sunday. Not on a Thursday, not on a Wednesday practice.
There's quite a bit of that.
Yeah, we need. Let's do this tomorrow. We'll go through the depth chart, and we're going to asterisk every guy who is a if he stays healthy guy.
Okay.
And come up with the percentage of that.
That sounds like math and not a lot of fun. When we come back, the choice is yours. It's my turn in the question chair. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All that.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's the choice is yours now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week, and I, Joe Rex Road, am in the question chair today. So, sports or non-sports, fellas?
Let's go non-sports, Joe.
Non-sports, okay.
Bold.
What's the most annoying thing about your wife?
I mean, what are you trying to get? Divorced?
No.
I just got married like less than 2 months ago.
You know what they say. Once you've been married 2 months, you need to be able to publicly call your wife out for something in front of thousands of people.
2 months is 2 days away. Golly, man.
Hey, man, this is great. This is good for a relationship.
Set the tone for a divorce.
This is a stress test of a relationship. You can say
whatever. Let me hear some examples. I want to hear y'all first.
Okay, I'll go with mine. My answer is she makes fun of my driving constantly, and I mean constantly, while being a much worse driver than I am. I mean, I've never been in an accident. What's that?
How does she poke at you then?
Well, they call me a grandpa driver. It's not just her, but she leads the charge. And it's like criticisms of my driving. Called me a grandpa driver, although actually I'm quite aggressive, pick my spots when I need to be. And I am very uncomfortable being a passenger when she's driving. Now, I'm uncomfortable being a passenger when anybody drives. That's a long story. We won't get into it now. Had a couple accidents as a teenager, as a passenger. But I'm a much better driver, and yet I get ridiculed for my driving.
I don't like how you're claiming to be aggressive at times if you're labeled a grandpa driver by your entire family. So I have some doubts about your driving, given that. My wife, I love her. She sets alarms throughout the day, and a lot of them make incredible sense. You know, there's a feed the dog alarm that breaks her evening up, eight p.m. alarm to you know, begin wind down and maybe take some pills or whatever. But there's a 9:30 p.m. alarm that is like a go to bed alarm, and she is often asleep when the 9:30 p.m. alarm rings, and I'm like, wake up, honey, to turn off your alarm so that you could go to bed.
Which
and
you've already been
doing. It just seems
like
that alarm is counter to its purpose.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Have you discussed this with her?
And I think she thinks it serves its purpose often enough when she is awake at 9:30. And I think she thinks if she's asleep, she just turns it off and rolls back over.
Like if she's
it can be kind of cute, I guess.
Like if you're asleep, you obviously don't want it to go because it'll disrupt you. If you're awake, you're probably like either watching a
ready
movie
to
or
go.
Like or you're
reading.
Going
yeah.
to sleep. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. All right, come on, Keezer.
Let's go, newlywed. And this has been since we've dated and made dinner together. She uses one too many damn utensils, I would have to say, to make something. Like, there's, like, five spoons out on the counter, like, three forks, like, getting stuff ready. I'm like, what are we doing? Now, I get it with, like, sometimes
with,
like...
dishwasher?
Yeah. I mean, she just doesn't put stuff in there either. And I'm like, hey, can we stop using, like, five forks when we have dinner, please? Because, like, I understand in some cases where maybe you not... maybe have, like, three forks if you have raw meat and you don't want to touch the raw meat with the cooked meat. You're not supposed to, obviously. I totally get it. But I don't want to see multiple utensils out. I made dinner last night and didn't need three spoons or two forks or anything like that. So
right, so it seems like partially a legitimate complaint and partially OCD by you.
I mean,
like
a little bit.
It's
yes.
almost like we just stumbled into a nicked off, an impromptu nicked off there. Okay. All right. Thank you for indulging that. We have a nicer one later in non-sports. Sports, if there was one former NFL rule/tradition that you could reinstitute, what would it be?
NFL tradition or rule?
And I could, like, for example, and this is not mine, but, like, get rid of the stupid uniforms. There's one. There's one for me. Everybody wears their uniform. What's your uniform? Good. Wear your uniform. That would not be mine, by the way. I can go first, though.
Go first.
All right. I've got two, actually. First of all, a 16-game schedule. I hate the 17-game schedule. I understand we're going to an 18-game schedule. I really love individual records, and I understand eras change and the game changes, but I just think the 16-game schedule was perfect, and I hate it here. And also reviewing pass interference calls. I understand that they went so far to, like, you're never going to get one overturned, and it quickly got spiked, but I don't forget what happened in the NFC Championship game 6 years ago. 7 years ago, and I don't want that to be a possibility. So I would like that to still be a mechanism in the NFL. There you go.
I would like roughing the passer to go back to a more reasonable standard. Mm. I think breathing on the quarterback as a penalty is a little extreme, particularly for elite quarterbacks. And while I am, you know, all for player safety. So this is kind of stepping out of the game and the consequences. Look, you look back at Jacked Up and some of those hits, and outside of the consequences, it was a thrilling thing to see a guy suffer consequences for passes over the middle.
Thrilling.
So, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I used to love it, but I can't. It makes me.
I'm not saying put it back in, but I'm saying I miss that element. There's no risk. And Brady has talked about that. There used to be a quarterback couldn't throw a certain ball. There was an element of defensive fear that was put into throwing a certain ball because there'd be a consequence for it. And I miss that there's a – I don't want the guy hurt, but I miss that a consequence factors into what the offense can do.
Yeah. Real quick on that before we get to you, Nick. Talking to Coach Mac, Dave McGinnis, for a story I was doing on, like, Tennessee's offense, but we were talking about the run and shoot and how, you know, as a defensive coach, he used to go – you know, it's like it's a lot of the same concepts, and it was four wide, but a lot of the same concepts that this offense uses. And he's like, but see, we had a recourse, which was I'm going to blow you up over the middle, and you're not going to do that again, and that's – that's not an option anymore. But again, I'm glad you want people to come back to smashing each other's heads open. All right, Nick, what's your answer?
Real basic, but I missed this right up until I got to high school. I remember it was always the first team to score in overtime won. I kind of wish that was around because I want
just
games
just
to end.
Sudden death.
Yeah, I think games kind of get drawn out a little too long. I mean, there's no reason for a game to get to a tie, I feel like, at some point. I think ties are dumb. I mean, that's just the way I see it personally. That's just one small one. I mean, but yeah, I think that's just one quick one that came to mind for me.
I don't miss that at all.
I don't hate that idea, though. I don't really like this overtime. I love the college overtime. But I'd be fine if they went back.
College overtime is unnatural. Oh, I love it. It's not football.
I don't like that either.
But I do think, you know, not having a – and I know you can play defense and all of that, but you got to have a premier quarterback. He's got to have a chance to touch the ball in overtime.
All right, non-sports. What's your favorite personality trait of your wife? See, I'm balancing this. You want me to go first?
My wife is exceptionally likable.
So it's a yin-yang, then, in the family.
Yes.
There you go. All right, that's a good one. Nick?
I would say compassionate. She always, I would say, typically takes the time to get to know whether it's a new person or someone she's at least familiar with. She'll take the time to sit there and actually be concerned about that person's well-being and talk more about what's been going on lately. That's kind of how I am too, more or less. So, but that's one thing that I truly have grown to appreciate more of the last year.
This has become a tender episode of Robbie and Rex Show. Mine is Katie can have a good time with anyone in any situation, largely by making fun of me. But that's all right. Everybody needs a party trick, and you know it's easy. It's low hanging fruit, but it's a good time for everybody.
Rocks Road.
I was a Thank little you. Short there. My wife's exceptionally likable, and she deals with two men/boys in the house who did not give her sufficient help.
Ah, okay. Well, so this is a little bit of a confessional, too. All right, name the NFL player who could have been great but got stuck in a terrible situation and was not great as a result of it. You believe that this guy could have been great. I will go first on this one. I've talked about this many times, but Chuck Long, you know, when I went back through my life and reflected on being a Lions fan and why I wasn't going to be a Lions fan anymore, that's one of the guys that really came to mind. Chuck Long, you should remember this, PK, you know, the Heisman race between Chuck Long and Bo Jackson. Chuck Long was at Iowa. He had all the goods to be a great NFL quarterback. I will always believe that. And yes, it's injury. I mean, injury derailed his career like so many people, but in that franchise, with the absolute incompetence, in particular in the mid-'80s, around that franchise, the front office, just a terrible situation to put a guy in. It's too bad. Like I've always said, Tom Brady goes to the Lions, and he's like, you know, I mean, he's out of the NFL in like 2 years, but he got a great situation and became one of the greatest of all time. Anyone?
Yeah, I got a really quick one. Back-to-back years, over 1,000 yards, disappeared after that. 2013 Offensive Rookie of the Year, Eddie Lacy.
Eddie Lacy.
That was very strange. I thought that he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah,
I mean,
had a weight problem, right?
Yeah, he got fat and just real slow, yeah.
He was one heck of a player at Alabama. And you're right, early in the NFL. PK?
This is my first favorite football player. My first favorite baseball player was Gaylord Perry.
Okay.
And these are my Cleveland connections. My first favorite football player was Greg Pruitt.
Sure.
Greg Pruitt had a good career. He played 12 years, all but three with the Browns, last three with the Raiders, made a Pro Bowl in his second to last year.
Playing with Brian Sipe.
But I think he could have been better. His best 3 years, just over 1,000 yards, scored 27 touchdowns in his career, but could really cut on a dime, missed some games later in his career. I don't know. Those Browns teams obviously weren't great, 73-81. I think in a better situation, he was an electric player. He could have really been a name.
Yeah, if you watch highlights of him, he was electric, and he is a guy who people don't ever talk about, yeah. Right? No, that's a good one. All right, we come back in the Titans. The three biggest non-Will Levis stories with training camp actually starting 1 week from today. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, I'm going to be giving away some John Fogerty tickets. August 7th, First Bank Amphitheater. The promotion staff are going to email the tickets to you on Monday. What are we doing? Do you do this right now, Nick?
I'll take a couple.
You'll take a couple?
Yep.
Uh-oh. I hear this sound in the background. And
quiet, yep, your computer.
That's it. Oh, gosh.
Come on, Boomer.
I know. So we're going to give it away now. How about caller three?
Yeah, why
caller
not?
Caller three for John Fogerty. I want to hear some CCR classics, baby. I want to hear some I like some John Fogerty solo, too.
Yeah.
But I want to hear some CCR classics.
So I saw him at the Ryman one time, and this drunk guy in front of me, like right from the beginning, is screaming, "Fortunate son! Fortunate son!" Which you know is probably going to be near the end.
Right. Like that's probably an encore.
And this guy gives up like two songs before the fake ending. And then, of course, you know, Fortunate Son is the last or second to last song. Yeah. And this guy.
Just screaming for
just
it.
Gone.
Play some Skater! Oh, that's annoying. All right, your three biggest. We know Will Levis, the biggest story. It's good to have an obvious biggest story. Every camp doesn't have an obvious biggest story. The Titans do. But your three stories other than Will Levis that you are tracking, that are top of mind for you.
Let's make it a bigger basket about the offensive line. Let's not say Latham's growth. Let's not say right tackle by itself. Let's not say Sadiq Charles, is he the right guard? Let's just say offensive line improvement. It's been a bad unit for 2 years running. We know the history of draft failures there. We know the history of Dennis Daly and of Andre Dillard. We know the history of Keith Carter and Jason Hotelling. And now we know that Bill Callahan is a guy who, you know, went four deep at left tackle with Cleveland last year and had success. We know that the depth pieces on this team, on this group, should be better. They should be cutting or putting on the practice squad guys who are more promising. We know J.C. Latham as a raw talent is a good player. We know Skoronski, removed from the appendectomy, is in a better place and should be the sophomore guy who, is unquestionably better. We know that Lloyd Cushenberry, despite the idiocy that we see from PFF, is an upgrade at center and brings leadership there. We know there are questions on the right side. But what does this offensive line do as a collective, to me, is right there as a big story. It ties to Levis in terms of protection. It ties to the post-Derrick Henry run game with Pollard and Spears. It ties to everything. And it's been an issue for this team for too long. I think we all felt like they kind of poo-pooed it as an issue to a degree. They didn't take it seriously enough in terms of the quality of people they needed to fix it on multiple levels. And now they've done a lot more than they're getting credit for in a lot of ways. You're not going to have five All-Pros. I think it's going to be significantly better. But if it's not significantly better, that's going to be a giant story as well.
Okay, so my only quibble, I agree with what you said, but my only quibble with that is you're kind of talking about a season story, right? Like
going into camp?
So this is camp. So
all right,
the way I framed it is the right tackle battle and right guard and how the O-line looks as a collective for sure, but like that's the problem, right? Like how much are we going to be able to see?
Padded practices, we are going to go over and watch offensive line probably more closely than we have in a long time.
Yeah.
And we should, I will say, a good portion of us should sacrifice the receiver cornerback one-on-ones to go watch some pass rush one-on-ones. Because the receiver one-on-ones aren't going to matter if the offensive line one-on-ones don't go significantly better.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's just obviously whatever we see in camp, I mean, I'm not going to be convinced either way. I mean, I guess if it's bad, then right. You'll probably be more easily convinced. But I'm with you. I mean, I think it should be a lot better. Okay, number two,
wide receivers. Does this trio and the depth live up to the billing? I think we've all just bought in, like because on paper it's the best trio we've seen in a long time, but it is not without some downside. Or some potential downside. Calvin Ridley's the most sudden and fastest guy they've had in a long time. But we haven't seen him cast in this big of a responsible role that he's had. Jacksonville intended to use him the way the Titans intend to use him, and they didn't get a chance to last year. Brian Callahan is casting him as Ja'Marr Chase. You know, he's not as good as Ja'Marr Chase, but in the Ja'Marr Chase role, what can he do? It's a big advancement, and it's a big ask. And there's reason to be optimistic about what he can do with that, but we need to see it. And that's we need to see it is an overriding theme here. DeAndre Hopkins, we all came to respect his professionalism, his ability to catch balls in traffic. All of those things are excellent. Always a little bit of fear about an old guy hitting a wall. He'll hate to hear that, you know, and I don't expect it because his style of play isn't the same kind of style of play that hits walls for other old receivers we've seen here and elsewhere. But there's a possibility of it. And Tyler Boyd, you know, is a good fit for this team with this coach in this offense. But there was no interest in Tyler Boyd around the league.
That's what I was talking about yesterday. That's one of the most surprising things to me because right. I think he's good.
Well, 31 other teams didn't see value in Tyler Boyd at a pretty attractive price.
Yeah.
So, you know, it looks good on paper. They look good as a trio, but are they as good as we think they are? And it ties to Levis. Can Levis make them as good as we think they are?
See, this is another good – I agree with all that, but it's also, are we going to know this in camp? Is camp going to tell us? I mean, we'll have some insight, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, they're going to win the one-on-ones because receivers win the one-on-ones, right?
Yes.
So one of
the things too is we need them to go through camp without a hamstring.
He just said we.
I said it the way he said. We as observers of what they are doing.
Yes.
See, that's more applicable, Joe. Okay.
Okay.
We as observers of what they are doing to build confidence in what we are seeing need them none of them to be out with a twisted ankle or a pulled hamstring.
Okay, we got halfway through. So there's three of the six. When we come back, we'll delve into more big stories here with the Titans. Robbie Rexer, 1025, 106 through the game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and answer for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.